Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed by Breadbox Media. You are listening, if you're listening live now at Facebook, we meet every Monday at 12:30 on Reconcile to You on Facebook for the live recording. And I am so excited for today to share a couple of things. Well, one I'm not excited to share with you, but one I feel very much called to share with you, and just to spend a few minutes speaking about the current sex abuse scandal in the church. I am a revert to the faith, and I pretty much came back right as the scandal was breaking in my own diocese, Fall River, Boston area. I'm kind of go between those two dioceses. And it was hitting here, but I didn't quite know enough yet to know what was really going on. Didn't follow everything well enough. I had just started to come back, and I spent more of my time focused on the Eucharist and trying to figure the faith out by reading the catechism. And I guess that's kind of a grace that I didn't really understand exactly what was happening, but I did watch the pews and our seminaries empty. And I saw the desolation later as I became more faithful, kind of spent more time in the faith and with people of faith. And I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm laughing, if you're listening and not watching, I'm laughing because my chair just went down. Clearly, there's somebody who doesn't want me speaking about this. And so he's going to mess with my chair. Father Roger Landry once told me we were trying to figure something out and our computer wouldn't work. It kept dying. And he said, if the devil can't get to your heart, he just goes through your computer. Apparently today he's going to use my little electronic chair, but back, a hydraulic chair, not electronic. Not that fancy. But back to really to the seriousness. I totally don't mean to be making light in the middle of this announcement or this discussion at all, because it's very serious. It's very sad. It's horrifying, as we've all heard so many people say already. It's very horrifying. It's sad that it was allowed to go on with so many people. It's time not to flee, but to fix it. It's time to pray and to beg the Lord for mercy and for help, for all involved, for the victims, for the priests, for the people who are just trying to remain faithful and don't know if this is the church they want to belong to. And I think it's time for us too to be very vocal about why we are Catholic. I am Catholic because of the Eucharist. I am Catholic because of the sacraments, from the grace that comes from my baptism, my confirmation, the reconciliation. I just absolutely love the fact that I get to go and sit with a priest in persona Christi and have my sins forgiven and have him speak those words to me. And I know that the sins of the person performing the sacraments does not ever, ever do away with the power of the sacrament being offered, that he does not have that power. That is a gift, a grace given from God, and no man can reduce the efficaciousness, the effectiveness, the power of God within those sacraments. And that's why I am Catholic. I'm Catholic because the church is started by Christ 2000 years ago. And there is this great quote out there. I wish I knew who said it. One of the popes said, if we've been trying for 2000 years, or one of the cardinals, maybe, we've been trying for 2000 years to just, people, humans have been trying for 2000 years to destroy it, and they've yet to do it, must show you the power of the Catholic Church. It is filled with people who are flawed, both in the pews and in the and at the pulpit. It is filled with sinners. Jesus came because he wanted to heal the sinner, and unfortunately, we have seen grave acts happen with those who should have been in acting in his place to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring the sacraments. So I really, there's so much great things out there. Pope Francis put out a letter today. You can go to Reconcile to You on Facebook to find the link to it. It's on the Vatican, obviously on the Vatican website. Read what he has to say. Read what his plan is. Keep praying, but don't flee. Remember why you are drawn to this faith. Like, what is it about the Catholic faith? And I think if you really look down in your heart, it's the Eucharist. It's Jesus in the Eucharist, and nothing changes that. He's still there in the Eucharist. Chris is saying, I would ask for your prayers. We live in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, and my daughter is starting her senior year at Cardinal Rural North Catholic High School. Her school has been in the news, and there's a lot of anger going around. We are all in shock and just trying to remember that we are following Jesus. And I will absolutely pray, Chris, for you, for your daughter, for her school, for your diocese. I remember being there in that place, you know, as I started to understand more and more about the faith and started to see the anger and the animosity and see all of these names come out and you know, people kind of having the courage to come forward and say, yeah, I was a victim and I left the church. And I saw so many people use it as an excuse to flee the church, because every institution is flawed. I kind of think about, you know, this happens in schools, but people still educate their children. This happens in sports. Yes, people still play them and watch them. It happens everywhere. Unfortunately, the evil in our world is strong. It's big, and we need to fight it. But I don't understand why, when it happens in the church, people want to leave it, or every other entity where it happens, people see that it's this person or these people. They even see the flaws of the government or the governing body, and yet they still, the institution itself isn't disparaged, it isn't abandoned. And so I hope that we can do that moving forward, not abandon the institution, because it was started by Christ. It's the Catholic Church. It is the Eucharist. It is the sacraments, their outward sign of God's efficacious, this effective grace in our life. And I think now more than ever, we need to be strong. I don't know if the answer is, I'm not smart enough for any answers. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to make it better. I cry with everyone. My heart aches with everyone. I'm just going to keep praying, asking our Blessed Mother for her protection over her priests, and for those who have made these horrible decisions to repent. You know, Jesus is not going to allow them to get away with it. We have to remember that. Like, you know, I do a lot of ministry on forgiveness, and the heart of forgiveness is knowing that Jesus, the God, vengeance is God's, that God has this, that he sees everything, that we do ourselves an injustice when we hold on to things that we can't change, the things that are hurting us. When we give it to God, when we trust in his mercy, we trust in his vengeance, his judgment, I shouldn't say his vengeance. We trust in his judgment and that he's a fair and just God, that we will be able to heal and to hope again in this beautiful church. Krishna adds, that's where my biggest struggle is. What are the people accomplishing by vandalizing things and spewing their hate and anger over social media? Yeah, they're not accomplishing anything. But in their heart, I guess they are. They're just, when you don't have the faith, when you don't have it rooted in the Eucharist, or it's just being shaken because you're hurt or you're afraid, the way we respond to things. I mean, we see this all over the world, that people respond with violence and they respond with riots and anger, and it doesn't help. It doesn't change anything. But again, we can only can only control how we respond, that we can keep praying and not letting because hate can be a snowball. You know, anger, hate, this all can be a snowball. And if we allow ourselves to be drawn into that rolling snowball, we're not going to change anything either. We're not going to help the situation in any way, shape, or form. We're just going to add to that the strength of the evil in the world. And we want to be part of the good. We want to put our energy to God and to focus on what he has to say and what he's doing in our lives, and pray for those people who don't have a better way of responding to what's going on. You know, forgiveness is also the Christian response to being hurt. Forgiveness is the Christian response to having our hearts broken and to seeing injustice. And we, you know, some people won't forgive until it's made right, or they get an apology, or they see justice being done. But God says you have to forgive way before that. You have to trust in his mercy, and you have to forgive and be free, and really just hope in him and follow him. And that's really hard right now, because there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of, there's just so much injustice, so much misunderstanding. There's so much that we won't know. We'll never know. We'll never know why this happens. Again, we thought we've cleaned this. We thought we'd addressed it and made the necessary changes. And unfortunately, that's just three states, I think Florida we can include in that too. How many more times will we have to go through this? Hopefully, you know, this is time for the Lord to really strengthen his church, and hopefully we won't have more people fleeing, because it's hard. I love my church. I love the Catholic faith more than anything in the world, clearly, because I've given up all careers to give it full attention, because of the prayer, sacrament, and scripture, the grace trifecta. That's why I'm Catholic. That's why I love this faith so much. It's the only one that offers me prayer, sacrament, and scripture. It's the only one that offers me this outpouring of grace based on time spent with the Lord in prayer and adoration and growing closer to him in this tangible way. Like, I'm a person that needs to hear and see and smell and touch, and I need that outward sign of God in my life. I need to sit with a priest. And there's good holy priests out there. They're still there. I have met them. They are amazing men that we need to continue to pray for. There is a Facebook page, and then there's a website called Praying for Our Priests. I encourage you, please go visit it. Please like it, follow it. Praying for Our Priests. I mentioned it last week, this book that they offer, this resource, but there's also resources online. It's a guide for praying for the priesthood in union with Mary and her clergy. This is a praying for the vocations, but there's also one for praying for priests through the Queen of the clergy, Mary Queen of the Clergy, meditations on the rosaries and the rosary. and Stations of the Cross. If you're not sure how to pray, praying for our priests, you know, look up these resources. Just keep praying. Don't give up hope, because that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to abandon this faith. There was a saint that said, if you really want to bring down the Catholic Church, attack its priests. And in 1610, there was, I forget, my friend just showed it to me last night. There was a prophecy, you know, that the devil was going to attack families and he was going to attack priests to try to bring down this beautiful faith. We need to be warriors. We need to, you know, strengthen our fight against all that we have to protect it and to go to battle for it. Father Dwight, I'm praying for you and for all of your brother priests. Greetings. I'm able to say hello from Alaska. Thank you for praying for priests. I'm praying for all of you. Thank you, Father Dwight. You know, if you've not, like, I've been so blessed. Like, Father Dwight is one of the most amazing priests. He's such a kind, gentle, big-hearted man who just loves the Lord and wants to bring people closer to him. I think that we need to find those priests in our life and pray for them, surround them with prayer, and let them do what the Lord has called them to do. And that's to bring us the sacraments. We can't have the Catholic faith without priests. And pastor us, pastor, be pastoral. Know that there are more good and holy priests than there are ones who are trying to hurt people. More good and holy priests that are trying than those who are trying to hurt people. And Chris, I'm so praying for your diocese. I'm actually going to be in New Oxford on this Saturday coming up, the 25th, speaking on building a firm foundation of faith, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And so I'll be praying in a very special way while I am in, and I think, I don't know what diocese I'm in when I go to it's like outside of Lancaster. I'm not really sure what diocese is, but I'm really honored and privileged to come and speak. And I'm hoping that some of my experience with forgiveness and my forgiveness ministry will be a source of hope and healing in my visit there for the people who are hurting and whoever God puts in my way. So I really wanted just to start, listen to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jigris, distributed through Breadbox Media. I really just wanted to start today's show really just addressing that. We've been really called in the blogger world and the podcast world not to be silent, that and that's hard for me because I'm not somebody who really does well with controversy. I'm not one that does well with apologetics or defending the faith. I'm just really a person who loves the thanks, Chris. I think it's Harrisburg. Now that you say that, I think that's what the one I'm going to. But we're all hurting. So as I pass through or near Pittsburgh, I'll be sure to pray for all of you in a very special way. I'll offer my traveling rosary for all of the people of Pennsylvania and our church, really. Mm. So I didn't want to be silent. I wanted to share that I'm Catholic because I love the Eucharist. I love Jesus. I love priests. And all that they do for us in the church. I love confession, which is crazy, but I do. I love it all. I really do. And I believe in it. And I know that this is going to strengthen us. So please, let's help fix and not flee. So today's topic, which is, I think, kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about already, is in worrying. I gave a new retreat this weekend called the Warriors Retreat, going from being a worry wart to a prayer warrior is kind of the theme. It is it was wrapped around prayer, sacrament, scripture, the grace trifecta. It's kind of how my brain works, kind of how I talk about everything. The prayer that we used was the rosary, and that's going to be part of my reflections for the next 5 weeks, is kind of going into each one of the mysteries and sharing with you the anxiety or the worry triggers, there we go, that we, that most of us deal with. And then how through the Blessed Mother, when we see her life and we see how she dealt with some of the things that happened in her life, we can learn ourselves how to better follow, worry less, follow Christ more. So worry less, follow Christ more. That's the plan. That's what we're working on. So we start off with the also just to wrap this up too. So prayer was the rosary, but it's all prayer. It's just turning to prayer. When we're struggling, it is sacrament, turning to time and adoration, reconciliation, turning to our baptismal promises, turning to the gifts that we're given in our confirmation for the spiritual gifts that we're given for wisdom, understanding, strength, courage. You're using all of these things that the Lord has given us, all these tools and these gifts that He's given us to strengthen our faith, and once we strengthen our faith, hopefully we'll ward off much of the things that we worry about. That is the hope and the plan. That's what's worked for me, a woman of great, great anxiety. Very much, I would say it's probably a disorder for me. I have so much anxiety in my little life, but in the last few years, through the help of the Lord, through the help of my faith, I definitely feel like I've moved a lot of it aside, kind of can struggle through it. It doesn't completely disappear. I still have panic attacks. I still have anxiety, but I don't think that it does what it used to in my life. It doesn't stop me in my tracks. It doesn't paralyze me. That's the word I'm looking for. It doesn't really paralyze me anymore. It really, it's there, but through prayer, time in prayer, the rosary, especially through the sacraments and through scripture and sharing, I shared on Saturday, a lot of different scripture verses that I use to kind of give me strength and help me when I am in the throes of a worry session, of an anxiety moment, of a panic attack. Those really kind of how I navigate through them. Hi, Nita. It's comforting to be able to find ways to cope with anxiety. Yes, it is very comforting. Thank you. Anxiety is, there's all kinds of different levels of anxiety. You know, there's, in some people, it's a chemical reaction. It's something they really, truly can't control. And so medication may be necessary. And that was part of my own journey for a while until the Lord decided I wasn't going to stay on it. My anxiety comes from my ADHD. It comes from just circumstances of a really difficult childhood, and not trusting people, being very fearful, not really having the comfort and the security when I was a child. So that's something that I really have to struggle with and fight with. So that's kind of where my anxiety comes from. And we're going to start with the Annunciation. And for me, the Annunciation is really a surrender to God's plans. Think about Mary for a minute. Like, she was betrothed. So she knew she was married. She was going to be moving in with Joseph. She kind of must have had an idea what her life was about to become, you know, caring for him. There's some scripture scholars and theologians that say that perhaps he had children, that he was a widow, that Joseph was much older than her. So perhaps she was getting ready to take care of his children. But she kind of had a plan, like, this is what my life is going to look like from here on in, give or take. And then we have this moment where God kind of breaks through in the place of in the form of an angel, Gabriel, and says, well, not really what you thought was going to happen is actually going to happen. Here's what I got a proposition for you, Mary. And she said, yes. And sometimes, like, we have our own plans and our own ideas of what we'd like to do in our life or what we're hoping or even what we truly believe is going to happen next. And then, you know, there's a new proposition on the table, and we don't always have the opportunity to say yes or no. Some of these things, they just happen, and all we can do is grin or bear it and just hold on for dear life and kind of just navigate our way through it. We don't have a choice to say yes or no to them. And sometimes we do. But what we always have a yes, a no, a chance to say yes to is how we're going to respond to them. Are we going to respond with worry and fear and anxiety? Or are we going to respond with a yes to God, to trust in him? And we don't always, like I said, we don't always have an opportunity to say, yes, you know what? I'll take this new direction of my life, Lord. Okay. Or no, I'm not really happy with that. Can we just scooch that aside and give me something new? We don't always get that choice. So our choice then is, how do we respond? Do we respond in love? Do we respond in trusting God? And that's not always easy either, but it comes from, and that's one of our triggers of anxiety, is a lack of trust. And there's a couple of ways we can deal with that lack of trust. One of them is to look at hindsight. All right, where was God faithful in my situation, like in these big things in life, kind of like taking some time in prayer and reflection and looking back on my life. Okay, I had this happen and here was God. I had this happen and here was God. And really trying to look at all of these different situations and scenarios in our life where we really was really faced with some pretty difficult things. And we were able to overcome them because God was faithful, or how God got us through them, and just kind of really look at him. So use hindsight as a way of navigating your worries and your troubles. You can ask God. I bet you never thought of that. You can just ask him, Lord, I really need just a good old dose of trust right now. I'm struggling. I don't know if I can let go of my hope and my dream. I'm not sure I can let go of my fears in this moment. So to turn to God and ask, like, really just pour your mercy, your hope, your joy, your love, your faith all upon me. Give me all the gifts that I need to have the strength to do what you're asking. And all of that are gifts. Every single one, faith, hope, love, mercy, all of it, a grace in itself, are all gifts from God. And gifts are only useful if we receive them, open them, and use them. It's like there's a whole package there. If you think about giving somebody a gift, if you found the most perfect gift for somebody and you gave it to them and they, first of all, wouldn't even take it from you, it's not going to do any good for them. Or maybe they take it, but they don't want to open it. Oh, the package is so pretty. Or I don't really feel like it. Or I don't really need this right now. And they put it aside and it remains wrapped on, you know, just sitting there wrapped up. You don't even know sometimes what it is. That's not going to help you either. So maybe they'll receive it. Maybe they'll even open it, but they're choosing not to use it. And that's not going to help them either. And I tell this story, and I apologize if you've heard it 1,000 times, but there's always somebody new listening. So I always have to retell the stories that the Holy Spirit puts on my heart. One of the greatest examples I have of this is in the gift my sister gave me for Christmas many years ago. It was a Wii Fit. And I'm not the skinniest human being, and I don't really like to exercise. So I'm not the most fit human being. And so my sister, who is about 2% body fat, I'm pretty sure she can bench press a Buick. And, you know, she used to just run these 10Ks, 30, you know, half marathons on the weekends for something to do. And I've never been that kind of person. I've never been, I ran for a little while. I actually did run a half marathon. But anyway, this particular year, my sister gave me a Wii Fit. And I was a wee bit upset. I'm like, oh, really? I don't want this. I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. Like, is she telling me I'm fat? And I was like really hurt. My feelings were really hurt by this gift. And so it remained. I opened it. I received it. I opened it, but I didn't use it. I just shoved it aside. And then a few weeks later, my mom's type 2 diabetes got worse, and she went had to go on daily insulin. My dad, who had his heart attack, first heart attack at 34, heart transplant at 55, Ben started to have congestive heart failure. And I started to understand that my sister's gift was not one of shame or guilt or telling me what to do. My sister's gift was really because she loved me and she was worried about me and she wanted me to be healthier. She wanted to give me this gift or this chance at a healthy life. And I think about all the gifts that God gives us. They're not to guilt us, not to shame us. They're there because he loves us and he wants us to have a chance at a spiritual healthy life. Well, my sister wanted me to have that physical healthy life. The God is this loving father who just wants to give us every gift and opportunity and chance to have a healthy spiritual life. And so that's my thoughts on gifts and all the gifts that God has for us. We need to receive them. We need to be open to them. We need to be in communication with God and asking for them. And when he sends them, we need to be willing to open them. How do we open them? Through prayer, sacrament, and scripture. By actively praying, by going to mass, by going to reconciliation, by going to adoration. We need to be actively willing to open each one of these gifts by opening the scriptures, by reading the scriptures, and then to use them, to put them into practice, to let his peace overwhelm us, to give us that strength. One of my favorite scripture verses when I am stressing and worried is Philippians 4:5-6, I'm pretty sure. And it's have no anxiety in anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then the peace that surpasses all understanding will guide your heart and minds and Jesus Christ in Christ Jesus. And for me, that one works so well because it's not just a mantra of don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. But then it comes with like instructions. Okay, so I'm not going to worry, but what do I do now? Oh, I pray and I petition, I ask. With thanksgiving, I praise the Lord. I thank God ahead of time, as Father Solanus Casey said. I thank God ahead of time. And then I will receive this gift from God of the peace that surpasses all understanding. And I have to live in that peace. I have to dwell in there. I have to let it take root in my heart. And I may have to say that prayer, that sacrament, scripture verse several times. Again and again and again, you know, several days in a row or several moments in a row before I start to actually believe it, before I let God truly bring me that peace that surpasses all understanding. I have to keep reminding myself, pray. I mean, there's certain variations of the Bible where 365 times it says in there, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't doubt. So I have to remind myself, starting again with Philippians 4, have no anxiety in anything. Don't worry, but with prayer and petition, by asking God what you need and asking him for that gift of strength, hope, joy, mercy, grace, pray without, with prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now, if you're having a bad day and you're having a really high anxiety day, can I give you some best advice ever? Get your praise on. Get on some Christian music. And just praise and worship the Lord. Just get your hands raised in the air. Do it in the car. Do it in your bedroom. Nobody's watching. Like, what is that? Like, sing like nobody cares or dance like nobody's watching. I don't know. I just say do it. Just get your praise on. It's really hard to be worried when you're praising God. And if you're not a praise and worship kind of person, the other idea is to take out the Psalms and start to read the Psalms. Those are some of the most beautiful prayers. And they're actually songs too. They are praise and worship songs. If you ever listen to Christian music, you know that most Christian artists have plagiarized, have stolen the scriptures many, many times to give us wonderful praise and worship music. So either go to the Psalms, get on some praise and worship. Now that's to me is thanking God in thanksgiving. We just praise him in the storm as a casting crown song. Just let him love on you. And sometimes he loves on you in music. Sometimes he loves on you in scripture. Go to adoration. spend some time, even 5 minutes in quiet and adoration is one of the greatest fixes for worrying, for anxiety. Try not to hold on too tightly to the plans that you have made, knowing that God in Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that he knows the plans that he's made for us. These are plans for our good and not for our woe. He's made good plans for us and he loves us so deeply. Live in those plans that he has for us. One of my favorite Proverbs is Proverbs 16:9. Let me write this one down. Proverbs 16:9. And it says, I wrote it down. Or maybe I didn't write it down. I thought I was going to look it up, but I don't have my Bible with me. What? What kind of Catholic scripture fanatic am I? Basically, it says, I'm going to give you the Allison Abridged version because my Bible is not where it's supposed to be. My Bible is not next to me. Lord, have mercy. And it says, man plans his steps and the Lord directs his feet. So we plan, we make our plans. And you're supposed to do that. Make your plans, hope in the Lord, make your, you know, make those plans. But God in the end will direct your feet. God will tell you where you're going to go. There's a Yiddish proverb you've probably heard. We plan, God laughs. Hello, Anne. Welcome to A Seeking Heart. It's nice to see you there today. We're talking about worrying. I don't know if you ever worry. I happen to be a gold medalist at worrying. So I was just sharing about how the Blessed Mother teaches us in her Annunciation to trust in God's plan, to surrender our plan to his, knowing that his plans are always for our good and his plans, our ultimate plans for us are to get us into heaven. And Anne is saying that plans don't always work. No, not our plans. Our plans don't always work, but God's plans are always perfect and they always are for our good. They always bring us closer to heaven, to sainthood. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to be together forever with him in heaven. And that is what we are called to do. And then I was sharing that, you know, part of the anxiety that happens in our hearts and in our lives is this lack of trust in God and in his plan. And there's three ways that we can kind of grab hold of that trust. One is to ask, very simple, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. The scriptures tell us so to go and seek and knock and ask and beg and plead. We can do that. We can ask. We can use hindsight. We can look where God was faithful in another place in our life. And the third one is just to have blind faith, which sounds like a cop-out. It's just to believe. Got to start somewhere. Just to believe and look at his scriptures, look at the word, his word, and say, hey, he's not going to promise something that he's not going to do. If he says that I can ask and I'll receive, I'm going to ask. If he says his plans are for my good and not for my woe, it must be for my good and not for my woe. We don't get out of this alive. I was just thinking about that earlier, which is another thing that causes me great anxiety when I start to think about how finite this life is. It can really give you great anxiety, but that blind faith, that that faith in what is hoped for, and being certain of what we believe and just keep asking God to reveal himself to you and to strengthen that. He's never not going to answer that prayer. And is saying, I wish I could see his plans for me. It's a real challenge since I left the community. It's all I got right now is my blind faith. And sometimes, Anne, I have to tell you, sometimes it's a matter of just letting go of what you wanted. And hoping in what's in front of you and trying to find that nugget, that positive nugget in front of you of like, okay, what good is coming from this? You know, what good, for instance, I lost two children to miscarriage, one ectopic that nearly took my life. And that, that ectopic, it was only discovered because my firstborn Ian was born so early that there was, we didn't understand. Like it was this scary moment in our life. Why is this baby being born 2 months early? he almost died. It was frightening. It was like, I became like, talk about anxiety, right? It became this moment of great anxiety. But what was the good that came from it? They were following me all the more closely. So when my next pregnancy was ectopic and it was in my abdomen and it could have at any moment killed me, they found it very early and the surgery was dangerous and I did almost bleed out. But the good was I didn't. And my husband, the good that came from that was him really developing a practice of prayer, a discipline of prayer. And now he's almost a deacon. And so it's, Anne is saying, but it was all I wanted to be a Benedict sister. What about being a Benedictine sister did you want? Is there another way you can still live that dream? Is there something else in that dream? This story, ouch. About the children. I think you're talking about the children. And you don't have to share that now. You don't have to tell us what it was about the dream. Like, what was it about being a Benedictine sister? Is there something that really was the core of why you wanted to do that? Is there another way of living that dream? Is the Lord putting that in front of you, another way of living that dream? Oh, my story. But it's a good story. And then I lost, the next baby. But now I have, because I believe in the mercy of God. I believe, the church tells us that we can't automatically assume that there's saints in heaven, but to trust in the mercy of God. And given my consecration to Jesus through Mary and giving Mary all my graces, I can't imagine that a loving mother wouldn't use those on those babies. So I do believe that Chris Louise and Diana Faustina are in heaven and that they take care of their mama, that they pray for her and they pray for their sisters and their father. And anybody else who wants to use my little saints, you're welcome to them. But to always look for that good. I'm blessed, I suppose, that one of my gifts is positivity and that I can do that. But it didn't come naturally. It didn't come overnight. And it doesn't come without a lot of stress, worry, anxiety, doubt. Like, I have to fight those things. And that's one of the ways I do it. We're going to talk a lot more about that in a different in part of this series. Again, you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. And this series is The Warrior's Retreat. I'm going to give a little 5-part series on worry and the different ways that we can overcome it through prayer, sacrament, and scripture, through the grace trifecta. And is now adding that what it was God affirming me as me, so I miss his affirmation. Where else can you get that affirmation, though? He is still with you. And all the things that you were able to do in the Abbey, you can still do as a Catholic. You can still go to adoration. You can still go to Mass, I hope, daily if you're able to. You can still love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You can serve him in his church in different ways. I know it's so hard. And for me to say this seems so easy. When I thought, the ultimate good, Anne, that came from me, I did end up having another child, Adam, but then he was early too. And I still felt unfulfilled. I still wanted to be a mother to more children. And what came from that blessing, and God didn't answer it in the way I wanted to. I loved being pregnant. I couldn't wait to be pregnant again, to experience that. And I was just so devastated when I realized that wasn't the best way for me to have another child. And when I let go of that dream to be a birth mother again, and I started to be open to God's plan, where he had like put before me again and again and again to be an adoptive mom. And I kept kind of ignoring it, like, no, but Lord, that's not going to be fulfilling enough. That's not going to be good. Like, I don't want to do it that way. I know what it's like to do it this way. I want to do it. I want to give birth. I want to carry that baby. I want to nurse again. I want to do all those things. And he's like, just trust me. And I can't imagine my life without faith in it, without Faithy. I can't imagine my life without her. And it came from letting go of what I wanted and what I thought was how I should fulfill that dream, and letting my heart let God answer that dream. And there, I know you're worried about the void. And maybe there is one right now, but God doesn't want you to have a void. He's come to, Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And I don't know where he's going to give you that abundance, but I know that it's sitting right there just waiting for you to see it and to embrace it. And I'm going to pray with all my heart that you see it sooner than later. And said, I love my home parish and my priest, so supportive, but the void is huge. I'm so sorry that you're experiencing that. I really am. My heart just aches for you because you have so much to give and the Lord wants so much to love on you. And I'm just going to, I'm actually going to pray with you right now. I'm just going to just take this time and pray. And I pray for everyone else who's feeling a void right now in their heart. That just, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The dear Lord God, we just ask you to fill Anne's heart, to fill all those hearts of people who feel that their plans are not being met, that they've had to abandon them, that you've stolen them away, Lord. Just help us to see Jeremiah 29:11 in all of our lives, that you have a plan for us, plan for our good and not for our woe, Lord, that you have this plan to give us life and give it to us abundantly. Lord, we ask you just to open up the doors and the eyes of our soul, the eyes of our lives to see what you have for us, God, just to make real and present whatever it is that you want for us, to fill that void, to fill that hole in our hearts. We are restless until our hearts rest in you. Lord, how can Anne love you in the way that she did in the Abbey? How can she fill that void? Lord, please, please just open up her heart. Open up her heart, Lord. Let her see your love. Let her see her affirmation, Lord. Let her see your affirmation, your comfort, your consolation in her life. You know, Anne, maybe this is the beginning of saying it out loud. You know, sometimes that's the start, is just verbalizing. Oh my gosh, that's what's going on. I'm at a point where I'm hurting and I need, and you're saying it, you're saying out loud, I feel a void. I want to be fulfilled. And I thought I was going to be fulfilled in being a Benedictine sister. Can you be a third order Benedictine? Is there a way to be in community as a lay person in your life as a Benedictine? Is there a way that the Lord has put right before you people who feel exactly the same way? St. Paul tells us that we are, whatever we've been comforted in, we'll then be able to comfort others in, that the Lord of God, the Father, the Lord of mercies, comforts all of us in our affliction. And then when we are made whole, when we're made stronger, not always whole, but when we're made stronger, we can then comfort others in that. So to be an oblate Benedictine, how can you live the Abbey life through that instead? I know I'm asking you a lot of questions and I don't expect you to answer them. I guess it's just things that the Holy Spirit is just putting on my heart to share with you and to kind of contemplate. How can you find peace and rest in this? How can you find validation and affirmation that you so long for, and a life that you had hoped for through the circumstances that are now instead of the circumstances that you had wished? Strange, I feel it not enough, but it good and I'm fine. I know that you're fine. I know you have a strong and loving faith and the Lord wants to make it even stronger. I'm sure that's why he brought you here today to a seeking heart. I'm sure that's why he brought you to be prayed over and to be prayed for, and to be hoped, to renew your hope and to start to pray. Just pray, like ask, boldly ask, Anne, boldly ask the Lord to reveal his new plan for you. Reveal the new plan you have in my life, Lord. Show me the way. Show me what it is you have for me. That's a prayer that we all can ask, especially when we're feeling a void, when we're not feeling affirmation or consolation from God, when we're feeling that dryness or the emptiness that Mother Teresa felt for so long. A really great book to read is Come Be My Light by Mother Teresa. If you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend it. You can probably borrow it from the library or get it online. Kindle, fairly reasonably priced. There will be darkness. There will be prayers that don't get answered the way we want. There will be lots of things that bring us anxiety and worry and woe. But God said, promises us, Romans 8:28, to bring good from all situations for those who love him. So I guess we'll end with today with just bringing that hope to him, bringing these worries, these cares, these anxieties, thinking about our Blessed Mother in the Annunciation, who had a plan set, and then the angel appears and God gives her this new plan. And she says, yes, let it be done to me according to thy word. I guess that's going to be our prayer, even when we don't like it. You know, my friend Michelle just passed away, and she was such the embodiment of when you have a plan and a prayer and God doesn't answer it the way you want, but just totally accepting it, knowing what is next was better. She was excited to meet Jesus. She was sad for her family, obviously, and she didn't want to leave them yet. But when it became apparent God wasn't going to answer her prayer with healing, she embraced the plan that he had. And for me, like, that's my ultimate worry. So I guess that's why it's such a good example for me. And Anne is saying, but he has given me so much since I left, so it makes it harder to be angry, but the void get me now and again. Yep, it is hard. And we have these tapes that play in our head that we have to keep battling, that the desire didn't leave you. So it's finding out how you can fulfill that desire that the Lord has put in your heart according to his plan and his purpose. Remembering Proverbs 16:9, we plan our steps, but the Lord directs our feet. Let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Anne, so much, by the way, before I say the prayer, for sharing your heart with us, for coming on today and really allowing us this amazing opportunity to see how God can work in our lives and provide what we need just when we think he's forgotten us, and he never does. And I will pray through St. Joseph that you get paid work again so that you can start to feel that fulfillment in your life again. And hopefully during the finding of that job and feeling that anxiety, you'll start to see what God's real plan is. Like looking at your strengths, what you're really good at, and asking him to reveal the next plan for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear good and gracious God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and to start to work through our worry. Lord, you have told us to have anxiety in nothing, but to trust you in everything. And Lord, I'm trying with all my heart, mind, soul to do that. Please give me the graces, the blessings, all the gifts I need to do that, to trust in you in all things. And I ask this through your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.